Unfolding the eternal excellences, the hidden insights of the truth, and the depth of the riches of wisdom and knowledge.
The Bible says, I have cleansed thee by the word. I have not pointed to your weaknesses. He says, I have cleansed thee by the word. I have pointed to your strength. And this is your strength, that I am Christ in you, the hope of glory.
The glory of freedom, the glimpses into eternity.
The gospel is not supposed to be an assumption. It's not supposed to be just a mere presupposition. Truth is older than language, but the word of God is way deeper than any human language.
And now, Apostle Grace with the Word.
Today, I want to preach a sermon entitled, Capturing the Commanding Presence. Capturing the Commanding Presence. If you're writing, because I know some of you are lovers of writing notes, which is a very good thing. One white man said that the palest ink is greater than the most retentive memory. It's a good thing to write. It's a good thing to write. Do you know that, some of you maybe didn't know this, but do you know that even heaven writes our revelations? Yes, heaven writes our revelations. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. It says, they that feared the Lord spoke often to one another. And the Lord what? They feared the Lord, so they spoke often to one another. It was a place of fellowship. And the Lord hearkened. He heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So what does God remember when you sit to commune? What you're communing about. That's what he writes about. So if God writes, you should write too. Tell your neighbor you should write. So are you ready for the message? Psalms 91. And I'm going to read the first verse because that's the place of emphasis. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is one of those verses very few people understand, yet it's generally used. It's generally applied in prayer, in our mutual confessions concerning the things of God. But not many people understand the meaning of that one verse. And it's from there that I'm going to derive everything that I feel God has laid on my spirit as burden to give you this evening. And I pray by God, if you can understand this to the depth and magnitude of what this means, your life will never remain the same again. This is one of those milestone summons. You know those milestone summons? One of those things you have to repeat and repeat and repeat until you can preach it yourself, until your spirit can understand it. Because it carries such a depth. And amazing, the whole afternoon, when I got this revelation to share this, even when I had the full understanding of what the Lord wanted me to share, for most of the part I was praying for the language to be able to articulate the convictions of this text, because I need so much language, spiritual language I mean, but God will help me. He that dwelleth in the secret place, we all know what the secret place is. It's a place of fellowship, isn't it? It's a place of prayer. It's a place of intimacy with God. He says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwelleth in the secret place, in the place of prayer. I'm talking to people of covenant who understand the importance of prayer, who understand the importance of intimate relationship with the Father, who understand the importance of fellowship. When you put aside whatever you're supposed to do, and then you say, let me go to church, and spend some time with my God. Yes, he's using this vessel, but you don't come to meet Apostle Grace. You come to meet God, isn't it? Or those of you who are not able to make it here, but you're on television somewhere, or you're streaming in your home, in your car, but you always have that demand on your spirit to be one or in consonance with God's will and purposes. So you find yourself hungry for the things of the Spirit. You find yourself craving for the Word of God. You want to be where the presence is. God says, for people who have learnt this, who have cultivated the discipline and culture of having an intimate place, a fellowship with God, he says, they shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, this last sentence, the shadow of the Almighty, is what I wanted to take time to explain. The shadow of the Almighty. For instance, if I am walking with my little daughter, all right, and the sun is at some angle, and then as she's standing with me, sort of my image casts a shadow on the ground, and that daughter of mine is standing under that shadow. It means that the sun is not able to touch her because she's under some shadow. It's just a place of protection because it spells the degrees of proximity. You cannot sit under the shadow of a person or a thing in whose proximity you're not. You agree? But what does this shadow do? This shadow, this covering, is the thing that evokes the presence of God, that you see move, function, operate with certain individuals. I'm talking about the manifested presence of God. There is a law that exists in the realm of the living that I believe not many people fully understand or are able to explain. If they understand, it's revered, it's admired, it's also in some way, was in sometimes resented, because it comes with a lot of influence, if you might call it. But this law is the law of the commanding presence. That's what I'm trying to teach about. The law of the commanding presence. It's a very spiritual law, deeply spiritual, because it's birthed from inner realms, but yet it's very tangible. Its essence is very tangible, and it commands such authority and power as it captivates those who can identify it on an individual. And it evokes a sense of respect and honor effortlessly. It evokes a sense of attention effortlessly. When you understand how this law works, it charges your realm in such a unique way and puts you at favor and advantage with the living and the non-living. The animate and inanimate. Let me give you an example for some of you to understand this. Have you been around certain people whom you can get in their presence and you heard a lot of words and you find that you can't speak? Has somebody ever experienced that? Put up your hands if you've ever experienced that. You have a lot of words, for example. You come in proximity of an individual and you don't know what to say. It's the commanding presence. That law is active in their lives. There are people whom you can get in proximity with and start shaking. You feel like you're losing your feet. There are people who, even if they look at you, you can't stand them staring at you because of the piercing that comes from their eyes, because of the commanding presence that they carry. There are people, if they entered a room, even if they entered very silently, you'd sense that they have entered a room because they command a certain presence. There are people, and as it varies in degrees, there are people who you can even sense if they're in a community, a locality or not. There are people whom you can sense whether they're in a country or they're not in a nation. When they're in a nation, they command a certain presence on their lives that shows you that their essence or person is in that country. It's in that territory. There are people that are hard to say no to. Not because they're very handsome. Not because they're very beautiful. Not because they have a lot of money. But they have a commanding presence. There are people you can't just walk to and harm. You can't just say, I'm going to slap this person. And you walk to them and slap them. Even if somebody dared you and gave you money, you can't just slap them. There are people you just can't walk to and insult, because they have a commanding presence around them. And the glory that preserves their name and identity is so strong. And it's as though God zealously protects who they are. And God says, if you learn to dwell in the secret place, you shall abide under that shadow. This is the shadow. Am I making a point here? This is a shadow. This law transcends mere words and actions. It resonates with a very deep, deep grace that I have seen operating on the lives of those few who have had the opportunity to understand and capture it for their own. I believe with every conviction in my heart that God has designed this law to work to the advantage of everybody that bears the divine essence, especially those men and women who have entered a covenant relationship with God, and it is for your good. Hallelujah. In scripture, you see men who carried this amazing presence. Spoken of David. And when you saw David, you loved him. It's spoken of Joseph, that when you saw Joseph, you loved him. You understand what I'm saying? You loved him. They carried a certain presence. Because if you don't know how to command that presence, right? By God. And I emphasize by God. You'll only command it through domineering. You command it through manipulation. You command it through coercion. You command it through an overbearing sense or attitude. You command it through some physical force. If an army man has a gun and they stand before you and tell you move, and then you run away, that's not what I'm talking about. Yes, they have a commanding presence, but it's birthed from carnal realms. If a very strong man stands before you and tells you, I'm going to beat you up, and for the fear of being beaten, he tells you, go, and you run away. That kind of commanding presence is birthed from a carnal realm. That's not the one I'm talking about, because there are two ways you can earn it. You can either earn it by learning to dwell in the presence of the Lord, or you will earn it through using carnal means. But when I was defining this law, I said that this kind commands attention and respect effortlessly. No coercion, no manipulation, not taking advantage, no deception, nothing. Why? Because it's defined from a godly pattern. You might never understand its importance until the day you need it. Until the day you need it. But like I said, and I emphasize, every child of God needs this law to be activated heavily on your life. Heavily on your life. That's the shadow on our lives. That's what they call that person. You've heard people say things like, that person or that lady or that man walks with a certain presence. This is the law I'm talking about. And you need it. And it's amazing. When you carry it, the demons respond to you differently. Demon spirits sense it. They know it. They understand it. That's why even in the faith, there are certain people who can easily command demons than others, because they have that commanding presence. You get it? There are people who can take 20 minutes, 30, 45 minutes rebuking out devils. And there are people who can just look at them or point at them, or even get in a place and stand just in one area like this, and the demon knows that this person has arrived. What do you want with me? Sometimes you've seen people screaming in meetings, demons screaming out of them even before they are addressed, because they sense the commanding presence. They respect that law. And for some of you, spiritually, this is the attack that is mostly hidden on your life. Because if the devil comes to strip you, that's the one thing he can deliberately strip you of, and find yourself in a place where you are less. Wherever you're standing, you are less of every man in that area. You are less of every individual that you stand before or among. And there are people who have been attacked so badly by the devil because they don't understand how important, or even when the attack comes, they don't know that it's actually an attack on your life to dim your star. Because if you're not illuminated in the spirit, because that's the essence of the word, it's to illuminate you, isn't it? It's to illuminate you. That the eyes of your understanding will be flooded with light. He says you are the light of the world. You're the luminary of this world. When the Bible says that the world dwells in darkness, we're not talking about physical darkness. We're talking about spiritual darkness. This realm is controlled by the prince of the world, which is Satan. And there's gross darkness in the places where the gospel is least preached. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world, and you're the city set on a hill. You cannot be hid. You should not be hid. But how can you go to a place and you feel hidden? And not for the right reasons for your protection, but hidden for the reasons that the devil does not want you to be identified, announced, and introduced the way you should be announced and introduced. Why do certain people get in certain places and they immediately find divine favor with everybody they meet? And another person enters and they live a pungent experience. Somebody doesn't even want to relate with you. They look at you and you look like a thief. How can you look like a thief, yet you're not a thief? Your image is corrupted by the work of Satan. And some of you walk with that reproach every day without knowing. You walk with that reproach every day without knowing. That is why you must understand the importance of prayer. I'm not just talking about routine prayer. I'm talking about intimate prayer. the relationship that you build with God that goes beyond time and periods. It's defined by unction. You can pray anywhere, anytime. You carry a God consciousness all the time. It's one of those laws that will guarantee the preservation of this law. Because remember, I've said this once or twice, that some laws are hinged on other laws. That's a deep sermon as well I could teach one day. Some laws are hinged on other laws. Right? So this law, the commanding presence, is hinged on the law that governs prayer. You must understand how to pray first. Because some of you, even your prayer life is warped. It's wrong. Or some of you even pray, but you pray amiss, if I may say it that way. You don't know how to pray right. You pray defeated. You pray victimized. And then you carry that image in the spirit. And then you meet a person and you look the image of a victim, not a victor. Then you understand or appreciate later why they could not hire you, because you are a victim. May God help you understand the depth of what He is speaking to you this evening. Are you following what I'm saying? You need it. It will brighten you. It will bring things that you've never dreamt of to you effortlessly. It will invite the things you've been seeking. Some of you, you're seeking things that should be pursuing you. You understand what I'm saying? But it will invite those things because you command the presence of those things. And it's amazing how all the laws of the universe are attracted to the presence of God. Because in there, they carry their definition, their identity, and their distinction. In Him, the Bible says, all things consist, which is the head of all principality and power. Creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. What, in essence, is the defining mark of this sonship? Glory, presence. Presence. The scriptures are very clear that even the trees rejoice when they see the righteous. These things on the earth, you see, they rejoice when they see the righteous. The mountains skip when they sense the presence. Hallelujah. Now, tell me what a man or woman who carries that presence will look like before these things. The protection and preservation under that shadow. Psalms 121 verses 4, if you read the Amplified Version. Now, he talks about what happens when somebody is under that shadow, that protection. Firstly, it's a protecting realm. The commanding presence is a protective realm or protecting realm. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He says, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shed. Shed is what? Shadow. Isn't it? The Lord is your keeper, the Lord is your shed. Now, do you connect with Psalms 91? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, it says here that the Lord is your keeper and He is your shed. He's your keeper and He is your shed on your right hand. The side not carrying a shield. He says, the sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Who understands the meaning of this? Let me make sure you do. In the realm of the spirit, there is a grace that conquers the elements to work against you or for you, depending on your positioning. It's not just a physical sun. We're not talking about the physical sun and the physical moon. Some people think we're talking about the physical sun and the physical moon. We're not talking about the physical sun and the physical moon. Remember, the Bible says that the sun rules by day. The luminary that rules by day is the sun. And the luminary that rules by night is the moon. Okay, so now here we're talking about a rule, a system operating in the world, not on the earth, but in the world. Earth is a place of abode for all humanity and living, other living things, right? But world is a system. When we talk about world, when you say it's a beautiful thing to live in this world, you're talking about systems that compel, govern, and instruct the laws that operate on the earth. You get it? Have you gotten the difference between world and earth? So, when we're talking about the sun and the moon, it's more than just the physical. We're talking about the sun and the moon in the language of the world. The eons, the ages. For example, when the Bible says, weeping may endure but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Does that mean that every night you cry? In this instance, the word here, night, means the place of ignorance. The place of ignorance is the place of darkness in this instance. You get it? The Bible says in Genesis, in the beginning, the earth was without form. And the Bible says it was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Ignorance was upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. You see, the first thing he commanded to come into existence was the light. That light is not the sun. In the beginning, the earth was without form. It was void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon thee. And the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. And he says, there was light. Are you following what I'm saying? When he said there was light, it was the light that he created that would give essence to everything created, because he had to create everything under that light. You get it? He had to create everything under that light. That is the light under which everything is created. Definite article, the light, not a light, the light. You go down in Genesis 1:14, he explains, he said, let there be lights under the light that he created in Genesis 1:3. Are you following what I'm saying? He comes now in under that light and creates lights. He didn't call them the. There's no definite article there. He said, let there be lights. And he says, in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Verses 15, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verses 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. That was the fourth day. You see what I'm saying? Now, separate the light that he uses to create the lights. You get it? And these lights that rule by day and rule by night. You get it? Now, let me take you back, because you need to understand this. When the Bible says the sun shall not smite thee by day nor the moon by night, and there are days you don't have the moon, and there are days you cannot see the moon in the sky, and there are days, there are days the moon does not appear. You understand? But two, then, how does the moon smite? Okay, you could understand the sun and how much heat it would give, but how does the moon smite? We're not talking about physical lights. We're talking about systems. World systems. For example, if somebody goes through a season of poverty, they can say, man, the sun has been bright in my house. It could mean, you Africans understand this, that it's been going through financial trouble. You get it? So when I say that weeping shall endure but for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, it's not that every night people cry and every morning people are happy. There are people who are going to wake up tomorrow morning somewhere in the world, not you who are listening to me, and they're going to wake up to bad news. So how does that portion of scripture apply? This night is a place of ignorance, and the morning is a place of knowledge. Are you following what I'm saying? In other words, weeping may endure when you're ignorant, but joy will come at the onset of revelation. You get it? It's like you go through circumstances and you don't know what to do, and then you come to a sermon, for example, and a preacher preaches a very strong one, and then you came silent and sad, and then you go back excited and happy. That was your morning. You understand? Your night was when you were in a place of despair, confusion, and trouble. When knowledge comes, that's what brought Jesus Christ as the light of the world. He is the light that lights every man that cometh into this world. That's why he's called the morning star. Jesus is called the morning star and the true light. You get it? He says we have a sure word of prophecy to which we do good to take heed to, as a what? Light that shineth in what? In a dark place. This word is a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. That's Christ in essence. So let's go back to Psalms. He says that the sun shall not smite you by day. In other words, you'll not see evil days. And the moon by night. But when the world is either up or down, you have a steadfast commitment from heaven to go upward and forward in every circumstance of your life. That's a man who is not smitten by the sun and the moon. In other words, the elements of the earth do not affect your progress. None whatsoever. Somebody shout amen. You're not subject to the elements. That's why I said in the realm of the spirit, there are people for whom these elements work against. The sun works against them. The moon works against them. There's troubles that come in the night. There's troubles that come in the day. There's some people, their troubles are in the day. There's some people, their troubles are in the night. When it's nighttime, they get very unexplainable attacks. And during day, they're okay. You're subject to the attacks of the elements of the world. Ian. You understand what I'm saying? These are the systems that define how well or badly we live on the earth. He says, the Lord will keep you, verse 7, from all evil. Now this is the emphasis. He will keep you from some evil. Did he say some evil? Come on. He said he'll keep you from all evil. Somebody say, I am kept from all evil. Say it again. Confess it. Say, I am kept from all evil. It's a responsibility of the commanding presence. to make sure that some diseases don't just come. Some attacks don't just come. Those accidents don't just kill you on the road. Those stray bullets don't enter your body. These airborne diseases do not afflict you. It's the responsibility of the commanding presence on your life, because it commands them and says, no, no. He says, verses 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Why? Because he has promised before, he will keep your life. In verses 7, he said, he will keep your life. He will keep your life. That's why he says now, he will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Why? Because they were dwelling under the shadow. The commanding presence went with them. That's how he preserves his holy ones. Tell your neighbor, capture it. In Hosea chapter 14, verses 7, he further emphasizes. He says, they that dwell under his shadow, he said, shall return. This is the spirit and the power of restoration. Such people, it doesn't matter what they lose or how much they lose, they return. They're restored and they restore. They always have a fixed law to their advantage to restore, to revive, to rebuild everything they've lost. When you understand how to command that kind of presence on your life, nothing lost cannot be regained. Nothing built and broken cannot be rebuilt again. Somebody shout hallelujah. Why? Because you have captured the law of the commanding presence. He says that they that dwell under his shadow, what a beautiful scripture, shall return. The Bible says they shall revive as corn. They shall revive as corn. They shall revive. In other words, that kind of man cannot be buried by scandal. He cannot be buried by blackmail. He cannot be buried by hypocrisy. He cannot be buried because you gave him a termination letter. She cannot be destroyed because you chased her out of your house, landlord. You understand what I'm saying? She cannot lose face because you chucked her. No! Something, the presence of God commands things to align back in the time when she needs them aligned. He needs them aligned, because that's what God has designated for our preservation. You need to capture this thing. People with that kind of presence, they can rebuild. You can laugh at them today. You can write them off. You're sure if they are gone, and tomorrow they sprout out from the least expected places in the least expected time with a greater glory than when you buried them. Because when you buried them, you forgot they were seeds. Somebody shout amen. They were seeds. When you buried them, you only gave them the opportunity to grow roots, to come out stronger than when they were, when you dealt with them from a surface point of view. Those kinds of people don't worry about what you do to them, because they know that this presence invited that glory shall invite it again. That is the difference between men who know how to find their way and men who are lost. When we're talking about lost Christians, we're talking about people who don't know how to command such laws. When they lose it, they don't know how to rebuild it. But there are people you'd waste time to fight. They will always spring back. They will always, you can write, you can talk, you can accuse, you can do all you want, and they'll always stand up and revive as corn. Why? Because the presence on their lives cannot leave them down. Shout amen. The Bible says, and they will grow as the vine. Hallelujah. They will grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. They will grow as the vine. They will grow. They grow. They always grow, because the presence grows. Tell your neighbor, the presence grows. Tell him again, the presence grows. they'll grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. They emit a certain scent in the spirit. Give me the message version of that portion of scripture. Hosea 14 verses 7. He says, those who live near him will be blessed by him. Be blessed and prosper like golden grain. Everyone will be talking about them, spreading their fame as the vintage children of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody, even those who hate you, will be talking about you, but they will be talking about you anyway. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You shall not, cannot be ignored because of the presence on your life. Those who are to do you good will discuss you. You'll come in their mind somehow. Those who are to advantage you, they will sit on their table, and you're the one that will come to their head if they seek anybody to bless. Whatever they have in their hand, the Lord shall put your name on it. Why? Because you command something, and you know how to get from places they don't know how to receive from. This law will change your life. I repeat, this law will change your life. Prosperity will pursue you and overtake you. No person who lives under that kind of commandment can be broke. You cannot be poor when the law is working to your advantage. Everything you do, it has the special workings of God. It's evident and will be evident that the hand of God on you is mighty. He will speak for you. Deuteronomy 28 verses 2, he says, this blessing shall overtake you. I'm not talking about I'm not talking about them catching up with you. I'm talking about them overtaking you. Do you understand it? I'm not talking about wealth catching up. I'm talking about wealth overtaking you. I'm not talking about joy catching up with you. I'm talking about joy overtaking you. In other words, it's not only behind you and with you, it's ahead of you. You wake up into joy. You wake up into success. You wake up into prosperity. You wake up into progress. You wake up into divine health. You wake up into advantage. You wake up into favor. You wake up into increase. You wake up into multiplication. 2026 starts to plan for you. 2028 starts to advantage you. 2029 starts to speak for you. 2040 introduces you. 2050 announces you. Why? Because you are overtaken. Slap one person and tell them they are talking about me. Sharabada zombre ketele badeka rekata pole badega zombre kete. Capturing the commanding presence will change your life. Can you imagine? Some people are saying, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. But there are people who are certain of next year. There are people who are certain of next decade. There are people who are certain of next century. There are people who already know that they are advantaged as golden grain in every circumstance, in every situation, in every age or period of human existence. The laws of the universe and the forces of life are going to work to their advantage. Whether the devil wants it or not, whether it's a wrong leader or a right leader, whether the economy is up or it's down, whether the nation has oil or it doesn't, the laws of the spirit are working for their good. I was once young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. May this presence on your life speak to your children. May this presence of your life preserve your children's children's future. May this presence on your life speak to 1,000 generations, because the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord is to 1,000 generations. My seed will not die early. My seed will not lack. My seed will not suffer under the hand of the tyrant, under the hand of the persecutor. My seed will not pay prices of things that they have not. Of things they don't deserve. Are you following what I'm saying? Your seed will not be buried by HIV. It won't be buried by cancer. Accidents are far from your children.
because of the presence on your life, you're commanding the days to come in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Such boldness have we toward God. That's how you can say that my seed won't fail. My seed is a prosperous seed. My seed is a progressive entity on the earth. Wherever they go, my children will never be victims. They'll never be survivors, sorry. Wherever they be, they'll be heads and not the tail. In the name of Jesus. Because of the presence. Look at Joseph, one man. He carried such an anointing that for hundreds of years, the Jew was a success in Egypt because of the anointing on Joseph. They would plant the seed and the seed remembers Joseph and it grows. They would mate animals together and they bring forth stronger stock because it remembered who Joseph was. Are you following what I'm saying? They'll go to lands and put a brick on the ground and that land starts to build that house. Why? Because it knew Joseph. Until the Bible says a king arose which knew not Joseph. That was when they were taken to captivity. But as long as any king would discern the anointing on Joseph, he would do the Israelite good, even in a foreign land. This one, it does not care whether you are in your own home or you're outside your home. It doesn't care whether the people you are among are of the same language or not. It doesn't care whether you're in the country of people of the same color or not, or the same ethnicity or not. It doesn't matter whether they are credible or you're not credible. It doesn't matter whether they are approved by some system which does not approve you. When you step there, the presence will fulfill and cover your shortcoming. You don't need to be the smartest. You just need to be the most anointed. You don't need to be the most beautiful. You just need to be the most anointed. You don't need to be the most educated. You just need to be the most anointed. Even in the places they least expect you, you shall enter. Because of the presence of God. Somebody shout, I capture it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Woo! The yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. I said the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. I said the yoke shall be taken away from your shoulder. It shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Sickness has no place because of the anointing. Your marriage will be restored because of the anointing. Your womb will open because of the anointing. Your business shall succeed because of the anointing. You shall get a better job because of the anointing. Your ministry will progress because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. That commanding presence, it shall speak to you and it shall speak for you. You won't need to introduce yourself. You'll enter and you'll be introduced. I found myself in places my degree couldn't take me. My education could not even try. My accent, nothing. But you find yourself in a place and cancer will hear you. The man has everything, but he's on a deathbed. And then you stretch out your hand and say, Katatala paye! Ha shambra de gata. Haya yaya. He says you shall be as the wine of Lebanon because of the scent that will come out of you. Now I understand. This is exactly what Paul was talking about when he spoke in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 15. He says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. Now you understand the scent that he spoke about in Isaiah 14 verses 7, the scent thereof which is as the wine of Lebanon. This is the scent Paul connects to in 2 Corinthians 2:15, and he says, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. In other words, this presence commands something. It will either revive you or offend you, but it does something. Your kind of anointing will either annoy people or give people life. But it won't meet a person and it doesn't feel anything. If they don't feel anything, then you're political. I refuse to be political. I choose to be on the realm that gives life, on the vibrations that release life. And for those who are for damnation, it's death. Who are opposed to the will and the purposes of God shall be death. When you carry this presence, you'll make many friends, but you'll also have many enemies. But that's okay, because God too goes through what you're going through. I always ask myself of a story that I never had any preacher preach, or I never read in any book. This was one of those things I never had a preacher preach or anybody comment about. There was an event that took place in John chapter 18. I'll get to the verse a little bit, but let me give us a foundation of this. Luke, Mark, Matthew, the synoptic gospels, have an account of the Christ going into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. How many of you remember the time when Jesus went to the garden to pray? Remember, he went with Peter, James, and John, and he tells them, tarry here, pray while I pray. You remember that event when he's in the garden? Mark writes about it, Jesus entering that garden. Luke writes about it, Matthew writes about it. John doesn't write about Jesus entering that garden, Gethsemane. If you go in the Gospel of John, you don't find the word Gethsemane. You don't find Gethsemane, the word Gethsemane there. Now, the reason why many people lose or miss the revelation here is because they don't connect the synoptic Mark, Matthew, Luke, the synoptic Gospels, and John. They don't connect them together to see the full picture of what God was trying to give us. But Luke gave us a clue. When Luke talks about that moment in Gethsemane, he introduces something unique. He says that this was a routine, a very deliberate practice that was common with the Christ to go on the Mount of Olives to pray. At least Luke recognizes that he always used to go to the Mount of Olives to pray. He used to go there. It was a common thing. He always used to go there. Every now and then, when you study Luke, he mentions it somewhere. So we know that there was a place where Jesus usually used to go to pray. The uniqueness of last days of his life was that this time he went into Gethsemane, one part of the Mount of Olives, to pray. Different gardens within the mountain, you understand? Now, Luke, Mark, and Matthew are telling us he goes in there to pray, leaves these three to pray. Oh, that place of agony, my Father, if it be willing, take this cup of suffering from me. But if it be your will, let us have this. But he's in a place of prayer. Shata pori gatala. He's praying. Now, John chapter 18 takes us in Gethsemane. Why people miss it is because they don't mention Gethsemane. But it is in Gethsemane that we find ourselves. Now, I want you to note this. He's from prayer. He has been praying. Now, how does Judas know when he gets the Roman soldiers at the point when he's betraying the Christ? How does he know where the Christ was? Because he always knew where he went to pray. You get it? He always knew that this man used to isolate in a place of, in a garden, in some gardens there, to pray. He always knew that that's where he goes to pray. So when he was looking for him, he knew where he would find him. You get the point now? So that's how then Judas knows where this man went. In John 18, he tells you, and Judas also, which betrayed him, verses 2, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes or oft times resorted thither with his disciples. He always knew where the man went to pray. You get it to that level? Now let's go back to this Gethsemane place. He's from a place of prayer. He is charging. Are you following what I'm saying? Verses 4, or maybe let's begin verses 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, comes thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verses 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom ye seek? He walks to them because he knows what is coming. He asks the disciples, who do you seek? Is that what your scripture say? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, the Bible says they went backward and fell to the ground. They were... Who got it? This guy has been charging the whole night praying. Comes from dwelling in the presence of the Most High. He's under that shadow and he carries a commanding presence. These men come to capture him and they're under some spirit. He asks them, who do you come seeking for? They say, we come seeking for Jesus of Nazareth. And as they turn and he says, I am he, boom, power of the Holy Ghost. And they fell to the ground. That was not a man arrested by force. That moment had to exist for people to note, for you and I to recognize that Jesus going on the cross did not go because he was overpowered. He went to that cross because he made up his mind to subdue the commanding presence on his life for your sake. Otherwise, they would not have touched him. This is how I know that John the Baptist should not have died because a dancing girl asked for his head because she pleased the king. This is how I know. Because it was not spoken anywhere prophetically that John should be beheaded. The man that carries the anointing of Elijah, this man that would command fire from heaven, the same spirit of Elias was upon this man. He said, none born by a woman was more anointed than that man. I refuse to die under the hand of the wicked. Something on your life should command something that tells the devil that that woman is a no-nonsense. That man, you don't just attack him anyhow. There is something on his life. When we had just started Funero in La Bonita, a young man comes to me after service and he says, I was told about who you are and I'd planned to kill you. True story. Told me I'd planned to kill you. I hated you to that degree. So I came into this service, one of those days, now he's narrating his story. I came into the service to see who I should kill because I'd had very bad stories about you. The guy enters the meeting, the power of God hits him. I think people even left him in the room. Now he's preaching the gospel somewhere in Eastern Uganda. I said, you're not going to die by the will of your enemies, whether they are spiritual or physical. I told you when Mbale once preaching the gospel, me and a friend called Saul comes, a man attacks us. Swings a punch at Saul, Saul runs away. As he turns to, the spirit tells me, this is the devil going to punch you. I scream in the name of Jesus. He was thrown about 8 feet away. Boom! He stood up, dusted himself. Then I got boldness. I walked toward him and said, what? And he ran away. Commanding presence. Tell your neighbor, commanding presence. Otherwise, I was going to lose a tooth in a crusade. Are you following what I'm saying? This happened. Saul can repeat that to you. It was a Muslim man. He had come to beat us because he found us in the middle of leading his wife to confession. She had believed. The devil is a liar. You're telling this woman, now say, Lord Jesus. A punch comes. This spirit interrupted the harvest. You get my point? Are you following what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, capture this thing. It will change your life.
on, let's sing it.
The Bible says they refused deliverance, having desire to obtain a greater resurrection. They just refused deliverance, but it was available for them. And if anybody should die for Christ as a martyr and all of that, yes, there is a greater glory for that sacrifice, and we celebrate that. But if it is not in the will of God for you to take that shot, I decree and I declare that the presence on your life is available to preserve you from all evil in the mighty name of Jesus. Now I speak upon your life that commanding presence tonight as a clock comes upon your life. Receive it in the name of Jesus. May it command your days. May it speak into your years. May it speak into your seasons. May it speak into the times ahead. I decree and I declare that it will announce you right. It will introduce you right. It will give you the visibility that you'll need. Kings will come to your rising. Gentiles will come to your light. Strangers will serve you. You will not struggle. You will not strife. Favor goes before you in the name of Jesus. His goodness is with you in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and I declare that you'll not struggle, you'll not fail. In the name of Jesus, you will not beg.
In the name of Jesus, whatever you need for your provision, you attract by the very presence. Your name will be spoken in places of power, influence, and affluence. It shall go before you in every nation you shall go to speak good and align and position men to agree with what God has placed on your life. Everything prayed shall be so and not otherwise. Take a few seconds and just celebrate God, because it is done. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're there and you say, I've never received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I want to take my relationship with God personal and go to the next level of relating with God. I want to walk with Him. I want to be with Him. I want to build a love relationship with God. Repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you because you died for my sins and you are raised for my glory. Today, I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm born again.
This sermon has been brought to you by Phanero Ministries International. For more information, contact us on telephone number +256-200-999-400 or email us at info@phanero.org. You can also find us on the web at www.phanero.org. Follow us on our social media platforms on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Phanero Ministries International. Or better still, feel free to join us every Thursday for our weekly fellowships at the Uma Upper Gardens from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. and for our Sunday services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. at the Uma Multipurpose Hall. Phanero, make manifest.